on locally owned 1430 ESPN. In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning and happy Saturday to everybody out there. February 3rd, year of our Lord, 2024. I am your host, Paul Metters, and yes, this is the Central Valley Sports Report, live here at First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon. I call this the place to be because it is. I do my show from the Letterman's Jacket Room just off to the right-hand side, kind of towards the back of the store. Got Letterman's Jackets from all the high schools here in the Central Valley, looking at Edison, Hoover. I'm going to talk about Hoover in just a second here. We watched their boys basketball game last night at Roosevelt. Bullard, Kerman, Central Kalinga, Selma, and Woodlake, they share the same Letterman's jacket. It's the same color scheme. It's pretty cool. It's got the orange, the black, the white sleeves. Looking at Sanger, Sanger West, Madera Liberty. All Letterman's jackets are only here at First String Sports. This is where I do my show every Saturday morning from 10 to 12. Thank you, guys. If you're a loyal listener, really appreciate you greatly. If this is the first time you listen to the show, what we talk about here is high school sports. Bring in guests. I bring in coaches. Bring in old coaches that have coached here in the past. Players. We have a ESPN 1430 Student Athlete of the Week every show, and we got one today. Want to thank our sponsors, Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating. Right now it's 49 degrees, kind of chilly out there, overcast. High of 57. And the old 55% chance of rain. And, yeah, I got caught in that storm a couple days ago on Thursday driving from work to Fresno. It hit really hard right around the Selma area. It's one of those rainstorms where you can only see, I don't know, 15 feet ahead of you, a little scary, coming down hard. The windshield wipers don't really matter that much. But, yeah, a little more rain next week, so be prepared for that as well. Like I mentioned, 2 hours of mostly pure high school talk. Mostly pure. It's kind of oxymoron. But we have a special guest today. I am very, very excited about this guest. Coming up after the break, right around 10:20-ish or so, I have Vaughn Webb coming live here at First String Sports. You guys know him as the head coach of Washington Union during those great runs that they had, two state championships. Coached Chris Jeffries, Deshaun Stevenson, future NBA players. That was must-watch basketball back in the day, in the late 90s, early 2000s. So Vaughn Webb, he's now the assistant coach, one of the assistant coaches at Fresno State. It's his second stint there at university. And, when he came back a couple years ago, I ran into him. I'm like, Coach Webb, how you doing? I introduced myself, And he goes, yeah, Paul, I know who you are. And so that first of all, surprised me. And I said, I got to have you on the show one of these times. And he's like, Paul, anytime. Gave me his number. No problem. So it finally worked out. They have a home game tonight. Save Mart Center, 7 o'clock. Take on Colorado State. It's going to be a good one. So it worked out. Home game on Saturday. They have shoot around, I believe, at 1:30 today. And then tip off at 7 o'clock. But he's kind enough to come here at First String Sports. We're going to talk for two segments. If I have Vaughn Webb on the show, we're going two segments all the way up to the top of the hour. Again, talk about his Washington Union days. He's been around Division I basketball for a long time as well. Have some insights into this year's team and some of the players that he's been working with on the side. He's a relational guy as well. Last night, saw him at the Roosevelt and Hoover game. And, of course, everyone's going up to Vaughn Webb and talking to Coach Webb. So, again, that's a huge introduction, but I'm very excited about talking with him. The top of hour, number two, we got McLean coach Mitchell Davis-Chachere and the school's all-time leading scorer, James Brown. Broke the record, I think it was last week. Yeah, last week he broke the school record in points. He's pretty darn close to a 1,000-point career, and that's a great benchmark for a really good high school basketball player. So looking forward to that. Coach Mitch has done a great job at McLean. This is his third year. He's revitalized that program. They're winning basketball games. They've been over 500 all three seasons that he's been the head coach. So looking forward to that at the top of hour number two. The bottom of hour number two, Fresno Christian head coach John Pemberthy. The Eagles squad is 19-6 on the season, a perfect 7-0 in league. Defeated Madera. Who they beat? Liberty. They beat Liberty last night. And you know the Pemberthy family. Everybody knows the Pemberthy family. That name is synonymous with Valley basketball. Brother Mike played in the NBA. He was part of the 2001 Lakers team with Shaq and Kobe. We'll talk about that a little bit, right? But this is a lot about Coach Pemberthy and his Fresno Christian Eagles. They got a really, really strong ball club this year. I've also watched them in action. Can you guys believe that next week is the end of the regular season in high school basketball, February 9th? We're going to know the playoffs in a week from today, which is wild. Seems like we just started. My gosh. But, yeah, this has been an intriguing year, so to speak. We have three major powers in the boys' division, in my opinion, St. Joe's, Clovis North, and Clovis West. We're gonna see how that plays out, man. There's a big game next week, a game that we're going to have here on 1430 ESPN, Clovis North at Clovis West. That's going to decide a track title. Clovis North beat West on their home court on the first round. We'll see what happens on the next round of game that we're going to have here on 1430 ESPN. So I mentioned that we were at Hoover and Roosevelt last night. That was a really good game. Hoover beat the Rough Riders. That gym was awesome. It was lit. Tons of people. Extremely, extremely loud. A little embarrassed to say that's the first time I've been in that gym. Tons of history. Walking through that campus, the architecture, it was like walking through time, so to speak. Just the timelessness of that campus is amazing. But, yeah, Hoover took care of business. They got a sophomore named Keon Hill, scored 19 points. A couple freshmen on each side, got some playing time. Hoover, Coach Archie does an amazing job over there. Always fun to run into him and talk to him. Hoover is in the driver's seat now to win that NYL title. A couple other scores of note on the boys' side that I want to make mention. St. Joe's, they might not even get the number one seed because they keep crushing teams in their league. There's no competition in their league. Played a lot of big tournaments and showcases. Strength of schedule is a big deal on the Max Preps ranking, which then is in turn the Central Section playoff ranking. But they took care of Atascadero. Check it out, guys. 103-44. All right. 103. I mean, that's just blowout city, USA. Clovis North defeated Central. Talk about blowout. Check this out. 91-53. And Clovis West, I was curious to see how they bounce back against from that game against Clovis East on Tuesday. Now, yeah, Clovis West came back, but they were down for the first three quarters. And they took it out on Buchanan, 84-57. So good win for the Golden Eagles. Centennial from Bakersfield defeated Liberty, 67-59. Bullard defeated Madera, 93-44. Of note with Bullard, I'm sad to say that star sophomore guard Javance Coleman unfortunately broke his foot. So he is out for the year. That's a big blow to the Knights. They were rolling with their other sophomore guard, Dalen Felder. So next man up, that's just the mentality that everybody has. So, Bullard's going to be shorthanded moving on, but the future is definitely bright for the Knights. San Joaquin Memorial defeated Garza, 60-46. Clovis East over Clovis, 65-31. Bakersfield Christian, 78. Garces, 57. And Edison, those Tigers, they're dangerous. They are dangerous. They defeated Sanger at Sanger, 72-65. Also, want to mention one girls' score. Clovis West girls defeated Buchanan, who's the number three team, according to Max Preps, 71-33 at home. It's a 38-point win. Their dominance in the sexual section is it's well documented. 11 straight Division One or Open championships. But check this out: 185-5 in league in 19 years under Coach Craig Campbell. Let me say that again: 181-5 in league. That's in the top division in the Central Section, the track. It's simply remarkable. We had Athena Tomlinson on the show last week. And she's just like the epitome of a Clovis West girls basketball player. She's smart. She's well-spoken. She's an excellent basketball player. She knows the system. She is very, goal-minded, going to Boston College. That's a 19 peat track titles for the Clovis West Golden Eagles. They're 25-2. They're well on their way to another section title. I got to say that program, you receive a lot of hate at times because you're too good, right? Nobody likes a winner. Yeah, I mean, right? I mean, you talk about the pro teams. We're tired of the New England Patriots, at least most people, unless you're a Patriots fan, of course, of them always being in the Super Bowl. But, I know they receive a lot of heat, but they're a program that is dominant for a reason. They definitely put in the work for sure. It's also want to mention that, going to that Hoover and Roosevelt game, just how important high school sports are. Important to a lot of people's school spirit. The kids are held accountable by a coach. I see administration there supporting the team, and it's a privilege, in my opinion, to bring you all the good stuff that's happening in the Central Section. An absolute privilege. The kids deserve it. Absolutely deserve it. And I think you guys are the listeners out there that keep track of high school sports. It's a big deal. It's a big deal how we love our programs, love our kids here in the Central Valley. All right. Enough of that. It's good stuff, though. And I can't wait for you guys to listen to our next guest. We got Coach Vaughn Webb in the house after the break on 1430 ESPN.
1430 ESPN Fresno. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
All right. We got Coach Vaughn Webb in the house right now, live here at First String Sports. Currently assistant men's basketball coach at Fresno State. Big time coach at Washington Union High School in Fresno. 850 winning percentage, Coach. 182-32 while at Washington Union. Coach, former NBA players Chris Jeffries, Deshaun Stevenson, of course, Demetrius Porter, Fresno State legend, a Valley legend as well. 2 CIF state championships, 5 Central Section championships, 7 league championships. Coach, it's a privilege to have you on the show. I talked about it in my opener how I met you at the Fresno State football game. And we got to talk and said, man, I'd love to have you on your show. You give me your numbers at any time, Paul. So here we are sitting right here, Coach.
Here we go.
And you just came from watching your granddaughter hoop it up a little bit. Huh? Tell me about that.
It was a pleasure. She's Kinsley. She's 6 years old and loves basketball. And I missed the last couple weeks because we were out of town. We had games and she was sick one of the weekends. So this was the last weekend for me to go watch her. And it was beautiful. She's out there. She's hooping. She's defending, moving her feet. Now I'm all about defense, So it's like, hey, she's moving her feet. And she did a really good job. Scored the only buckets for her team and got player of the game. And the whole 9 yards, I was just looking on my phone. My daughter's supposed to send me the pictures of them. They took pictures afterwards. But she loves basketball. She loves the game. She'll sit there when she was a baby, just like. And I have her, the younger granddaughter, who's Taylor Ray. They sit there. They would sit there and watch basketball with me, Paul. Sit there when they were little ones. When she was before she was one. I'm sitting there watching the game. She sit on my lap, and Taylor Ray does the same thing. We sit there and watch basketball, and they sit right there and just intently watch. DNA.
It's burned in. It's burned into the DNA. That's for sure. Playing on the little hoops. Those days are precious. Man.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
When they score the basket,
oh,
all
everybody
cheering.
Goes crazy.
Greatest thing of all time.
I got to say this. There was one little girl in there, bigger girl. She was bigger, taller than everybody else. She scores a bucket, and she runs down the court holding her arms, like flexing her muscles. I was crying laughing. She did it. Then she scored again. I was like, oh, she's the real one.
Yeah.
She scored about 3 or 4 buckets on the other court. I was like, oh, my goodness.
But it was fun. Keep an eye on that one.
Oh, yeah.
Keep an eye on that one.
It was fun watching that. It was beautiful. Beautiful.
We're going to be talking about a lot of cool stuff. I got you all the way to 11 o'clock. I'm definitely going to dive into some really cool stuff, some memories. I want people out there, Coach, that are listening to kind of know about your history, what brought you to the Valley, But talk about your childhood and the sports that you played. I know you, you know, you're a two sports guy at Western New Mexico University as well. That's pretty rare. But where'd you go to high school and what sports did you play growing up?
You know, it's so funny. I was just talking with my daughter before all this. And we were laughing, and she asked me, Dad, what's your favorite sport? And my daughter was a track, she's a high jumper in track, and her and Taylor, my son, they both won the same year they won the Riverside, because that's when I was living down south.
Yeah.
They won the Riverside high jump championship at the big track meet they had down there. Only brother and sister there.
Wow.
To do it. It was great. But, you know, I was growing up, I had an uncle who was like my big brother, and I just tried to follow in his footsteps. And my first love was baseball. I loved baseball. That was my sport. But my grandmother told me that it was, because that's who raised me. My grandmother told me it was way too hot outside for her to come out there and sit in the sun and watch me play baseball. So, you know, I played baseball up until high school, and then I let it go. But I was a wrestler. And I have a grandson right now named Noah. Noah is in high school. I think he's a freshman in high school down in Florida. And he is wrestling on the varsity level right now, kicking butt as a freshman and wrestling a weight class up.
Wow.
So I'm just like, that's DNA, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because I wrestled and I won a few youth state championships in Kansas, and then I went to the Nationals and finished second 1 year, third 1 year. And that was my sport. Baseball and wrestling was my sports growing up. And grew up in Junction City, Kansas. My father was murdered when I was young in Detroit. So my grandma, I ended up living with my grandmother and growing up there and in Kansas. And just enjoyed being in that athletics. I mean, I tried to do every sport I could. You know, that was my big thing. It was, I saw the people around me. Grew up in the hood, you know, and I saw people. And people don't think that Junction City, Kansas has a hood, but it was it's next door to Fort Riley, Kansas, which was one of the biggest army bases in the country, in the world, and had a lot of things going on the east side of Junction City, you know, and so people don't realize how dangerous and how crazy it was. And I mean, honestly, from me being out there on the streets playing, you know, with our friends, whatever, seeing people get killed on the streets and, you know, drug deals going down. And I'm not sensationalizing, it's just real. It was crazy, you know. And back then times were a little bit different, you know. You could kind of come and go as you please, but people knew who you were and they didn't really bother you for the most part. The people that were doing what they were doing, they did it. You know, and if you were in sports and you stayed away from that stuff, they kind of supported you in that case. And so we had guys some of the drug dealers and players that around the neighborhood, they come to our games, high school games be packed. And, you know, anytime you get a dunk, they give you money. You know, it was great. It was great, man. It was lovely. You know, and those guys, they supported us and they kept us on the straight and narrow. The ones that they felt had a chance to make it out, they really did a great job of keeping us focused, you know, staying off the streets, not doing negative stuff, not doing nonsense. So growing up there in Junction City was a little bit different, you know. It was a small town, but had big town mentality, big city mentality, you know. Started playing basketball. I'll tell my daughter, started playing basketball as a freshman. I was projected to be one of the best wrestlers to come out of there in a long time. And that was part of the deal for me. And all my friends played basketball. You know, and I was just like, I'm going to, and I didn't mind. I love wrestling, actually. It was competitive and it was great. But
were they getting on you? Like, why are you wrestling? Come on,
you know, they always want to go hoop right now. We want to go outside and hoop. And I always had to go across town to go to the gym and do all that. And it was just, it was different, you know. And I was like, okay. My ninth grade year, freshman year, instead of going, I went to wrestling practice for like 2 or 3 days, and then the basketball tryouts came, and I was a good athlete, right? But I go and I don't go to practice, and Coach Gibson, I go to basketball and I make the team, and Coach Gibson comes into the to the gym and just kind of lays into me, And I was like, man, but, you know, I had decided that I wanted to. I really didn't have a whole lot of them. There weren't any males in my, no male figures in my life. So I kind of just did my thing. And my grandmother said, well, just enjoy yourself, you know, that type of thing. But he came in and laid into me, and I was just like, well, I want to play basketball. You know, I made that decision. And I made the B team. I wasn't good enough for the A team. I made the B team as a freshman. And everybody, all the wrestling guys would tease me, oh, man, you're on the B team. You're not even on the A team. You should be over here. And I think I was wrestling 132 at that time. I was slated to be, pretty, like I said, be pretty good at it. And I decided to stay with basketball. And when I made that decision, you know, I started working on my game. You know, I really started playing and playing and playing and playing and playing. And ultimately, I mean, went to every camp I could and would go play every chance I could. And on Saturdays, we'd get up. Saturday mornings, we would get up and go to Fort Riley. And they had like five gyms up there, right? And if you caught them at the right time, we catch the bus there. Caught them at the right time, you could go hoop all day. You could go to Kingfield House, then you go to Long Gym, then you go to forgot the other one's name. There was another gym, then you went to Craig Gym, and then you just went all the way around. And then when we came back during the afternoon, in the evening, we'd go out to 12th Street Park and play. That's where all the guys went out there and hooped, and my game just kept getting better and better and better and better. And ultimately ended up playing. I was, you know, one of the better guys on the team, and I just worked on my game. I just decided I wanted to be a player, and that's what I did. And ultimately ended up playing. I got hurt my senior year. You know, I was supposed to be pretty good going into my senior year. Got hurt, broke my ankle, and that's a whole nother story. I'll say this: as a sixth grader, I had came back from the national wrestling tournament and was taking my medals and stuff and showing my cousins, and got chased by a big old German Shepherd into the street. Got hit by a truck and almost died. And you know, and it was as a young kid. You know, I was in the hospital for 6 months and that type of thing. And when I came out of that, you know, I knew sports is what I wanted to do. I didn't want that to stop me because I had the injury, you know, and you know, I had three surgeries. I mean, it was crazy, but I just didn't want, I didn't want that to be, to stop me from doing what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to be an athlete. I knew I wanted to play college sports. I didn't know which one at the time, but I knew I wanted to be a college athlete.
And then that turned into coaching right after you went to college, talking with Vaughn Webb. So you ended up in Clovis, right? Clark, and then transitioned to Washington Union. How did that all play out?
Well, I tell you, I played at Western New Mexico, and after I left Kansas State, I went to Western New Mexico, played football and basketball there, and had a pretty good 2 years, 3 years there, and decided I was sitting there in my living room in my apartment. And I actually had a contract to go play football in Canada, and I had a contract to go play basketball in Australia. And I was looking at that, and I was talking to my friends and a buddy of mine who was the guy down in Australia, and he was just like, tell me about it, and yada, yada, yada. And I didn't know much about the Canadian thing, and I just said, okay, you know, I don't know if I want to keep beating my body up doing this thing, you know, because I had done a lot. And I, from that accident that I had when I was six, I still had issues with my ankle. So I was just like, it was just kind of giving me issues. And I was like, you know, let me just back off of this a little bit. And I think I want to coach. You know, you know the name Kenny Travis?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Kenny Travis, who's coach out of Sanger now, good friend of mine. We played against them in this Pan Am Center. And I got to say this, we beat them in the Pan Am Center. I have to say that. He and Steve McLaughlin are good friends of mine. And so we became friends after that, right? We're about an hour and 20 minutes from each other, but we started hanging out and getting to know each other pretty good. And he goes, man, you know, you want to coach, you know, you need to go to Fresno, you know, cause, and I was like, he goes, they need good coaches in Fresno. You need to go to Fresno. He said, matter of fact, go to Edison. That's my high school. And I was like, okay. So I started looking into it, went to a job fair at New Mexico State, and ran into Jim Fugman and Carl Tomlinson from Clovis Unified, and a good gentleman by the name of Larry Matthews, who was at Fresno Unified. Ran into them two, just, you know, not knowing anything that they were connected and whatever. Talked to those guys, and Fugman said, Vaughn, I want to fly you out and come check out the place and da 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 da. Well, I came out and fell in love with the valley. And I came out and I said, oh, man, this is cool. I like it here. It was different for me. You know, it was different. Kind of like Kansas because of the agriculture, yep. but different. You know what I mean? And I was like, because I had been to California a few times, you know, Southern California, Northern California, never been to the Central Valley. And got here and made the decision to come. And I called Larry. I said, Larry, I think I'm going to take a job over in Clovis. Oh, you should be coming. I said, they offered me an opportunity to coach, you know, and I was a teacher and I taught literature, language, and world history. But, you know, the coaching part was big for me. And I went around the different schools and saw the future that they had planned. And I was like, oh, this makes a lot of sense. I could be a part of this. So ended up going to Clark. And they gave me my choice of schools. You can go here, you can go here, you can go. I went to Clark. Met a good friend of mine, Vince Wesson, there, and the rest was history because it was the best place for me to be at that time in my life. You know, not in Australia, not in Canada, right there, you know, in Central Valley.
I think you made a good choice.
I
think
appreciate
that was a good
that.
Choice. Door number three too. Worked out. Door number three.
So at
Washington Union, though, I mean, those days are legendary, right, Coach? And you had, I mentioned Chris Jeffries, Demetrius Porter, Deshaun Stevenson. I mean, just a litany of guys, right? I mean, that's just a few of the players that really made a mark here for the Central Section. But, you know, those days at Union, two state championships, you know, what's like the lasting memory? What are some things that pop into your mind when you think about those days?
You know, those kids were special. I had a great staff. Rich Cisneros, Kenny Smith, Steve McLaughlin, you know, and those guys, Kevin Harris, all those guys that were made those years incredible. The work that was put in, you know, I developed a mentality. Well, I developed a mantra, and it's all about mentality. Your mentality perpetuates your reality is what we've always preached to our players. And the thing that they didn't understand initially what it was to put work in, you know, but the time when they started realizing how much work it took to be successful, to want to be successful, to put that time in, those, watching those kids go from being just a group of guys to champions,
yeah.
You know, just the people don't realize how much work those guys put in. I mean, if you talk to any one of them, then they'll tell you from the day one. Paul, the day I got the job, I went over to watch Demetrius and those guys and Ronnell Nettio and Bobby Gilbert and Blake Barbary. Watch those guys play at Memorial in the Summer League. And I told them that day, I said, fellas, what you guys don't understand is I came here to win. And I said, if we do what we're supposed to do, we're going to have a chance to be a very good team. We're going to have a chance to win a state championship. I said, they've done it here before. We're going to do it again. I said, we got a chance to do this. Coach Biancolano did it. Coach Pestris did it. I said, we're going to do it. I said, you got to believe. Paul, and I'm telling you, they looked at me like I was crazy. You know, and I know that they thought I was, because this is a totally different group of kids from before than those other guys. And so they really thought I was crazy when we first started conditioning, you know. And the first day of school, we started conditioning.
Did they see a basketball for those first?
They didn't see a basketball. They didn't know you didn't know if they was running track. They didn't know what they were doing. But they, you know, and they were. But you know what? They never bucked me in regards to – they always respected what I told them. They listened. They did what they're supposed to do. They didn't like it sometimes. You know, who does? But – they listened. They fell in line with each other. There was alignment with each other. The leadership stepped up, and those guys really showed that they could be as special as they were. They worked so hard. They worked so hard. That was that first year. They worked. They set the tone, and it was beautiful.
We're going to take a quick break here with Coach Vaughn Webb. We're going to come back. We're going to go all the way to 11 o'clock, but we got to take a break, and then we're going to come back with more stories from Vaughn Webb on 1430 ESPN.
Listen to the Jose Gonzalez Show every weekday at 7 a.m.
The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
I'm your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports. I'm Coach Vaughn Webb here in the house, and we're talking about the days, Washington Union, those state titles, 96-99, incredible athletes as he able to coach, come across the influence that he have, the impact that he have on the players and the community, and I mean, everybody that he meets, man. You should see Coach Webb when you watch in the gym, man. He knows everybody. He's got to make time for everybody, and he does it. Probably watch a little bit of basketball and talk to people. But we were talking a little bit about Deshaun Stevenson, and you know, we know of his, you know, athletic ability and going to the NBA straight out of high school. That was still a fairly rare thing. And you know, his career in NBA, he won an NBA championship with the Dallas Mavericks, but. You know, that was just such a special time. I think we knew here in the Central Valley, but quite didn't know what we were involved with, was watching Deshaun and watching grow up. And you know, we had an NBA kid, you know, that was playing here at Washington Union. We knew that he was going to be, you know, play Division I for sure, and most likely in NBA. But Coach Webb, did you know, you saw something in him early, right, as a sophomore. And a lot of people don't remember, but you actually left to go coach at Wyoming for a senior year. Didn't get coached in a senior year, but did you feel a sense of having to protect him? I know there are probably all kinds of people right on you. You're probably getting calls all the time. I mean, you know, good calls and bad calls. You got Roy Williams and Coach K calling you on one end, and you got some weirdo from who knows where trying to get you, right?
Well, I'll tell you a funny, before I even say that, Deshaun played for me when I was at Clark. You didn't know that, did you? Yeah, Deshaun played for me when I was at Clark, and then we had a great relationship. And his mother and father and I we've been friends forever, you know. So I've been knowing Deshaun since he was a youngster, you know, very young. And we had like a father-son relationship, you know, and that was one of the beautiful things about it, because, you know, he would babysit my son Taylor and Taylor. He'd babysit them, and he was a great kid. You know, he was really a good kid. When he started becoming in the prominence as a player, you know, we talk all the time. We'd have multiple conversations about different things, and he's always asking these. He had a lot of good questions, you know, in regards to that next level. It was a blessing to coach him because of he was one of those guys that came when he stepped on the floor, he gave you everything he had. He was like that when he played football for us. He was like that when he ran track for me. You know, it was like that kid was going to give you everything, because he was a competitor. He was an athlete, but he was a competitor, you know. And Chris Jeffries came before Deshaun, and D loved Chris, and he, you know, he wanted to be as good as Chris a lot. You know, it was one of those things. He ended up going to that next level, yeah. And they both ended up going to the league, which was a beautiful thing, you know. But they kind of pushed each other.
Yeah.
You know? Deshaun, as a sophomore, I knew he had the ability to go play. I felt he had the ability to go play, to be an NBA player. And we talked about it. We had a lot of good conversations. And he was on track, on target. And that's why we started playing in tournaments, national tournaments, yep. And getting him out there against national-level competition, so that way he can be on a bigger stage to prove himself and then to get that exposure that he really kind of had it through EBO, you know. Yep. And so that was a good thing, because when we got EBO going, it was perfect. The timing, everything worked out perfectly, and he fell right in line. And he played with Carlos Boozer and Chris Jeffries and Matt Barnes and Ray Young and I mean, all those guys, man, all those NBA guys. It was perfect for him. You know, the timing of it was perfect for him. And when we talked about it when he was a sophomore, he says, that's my goal. That's what I want to do. I said, okay, then let's work towards that. Let's do that then. So that extra time, he kept start putting in even extra time, extra time. He, you know, in practice, he'd do what he had to do, but he'd be there after. He'd come back later if he could. You know, he put in extra time, and because that's what he wanted to do. And I remember, quick story, he talked about people calling in. I'm in practice, and the phone rings in the office, and one of my managers answered the phone, and they come to me and said, Coach, it's a Coach Patino. And I was like, you know, I get on the phone, and I'm, you know, because you get guys acting silly sometimes because they knew that a lot of people would call. And I get on the phone, hello. I'm like, hello. He goes, Coach Webb, Rick Pitino. And I said, whatever. I'm going to ask Rick. Matter of fact, I'm going to ask Rick at the Final Four this year if he remembers that. But I go, because I'm like, whatever. Who is this? And we both start laughing. He goes, no, Coach, it's Coach Pitino calling in regards to Deshaun Stevenson. Just want to talk to you a little bit. I said, Coach, is this really you? I said, because people be calling here clown and acting fool. I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'm in practice. Let me give you a call back. And so I got off. And I went and told my assistant. I said, man, it's Rick Pitino. I'm like, what's it? And I said, yeah. You know, but then I called him back, and it was Rick, and they were. I think he was at Kentucky. I don't know where he was at the time, to be honest with you. But he was. He called about D. But you know, yeah, a lot of people calling, a lot of people, you know, recruiting him, and I'll tell you this, it was part of my whole thought process of going to the next level. You know, it was. I wanted to go to the next level on my merit, on who I was as a coach and what I've done. Not based upon that you got a player, you know, that type of thing. So one of the reasons I took the main reason, the number one reason I took the opportunity to go to the next level going into a senior year, I figured we had just won a state championship. They had a good team returning. Everything was in place. You know, I thought it would be a good opportunity for them to just continue what we started, and I could move forward without having to utilize that or be on a piggyback, a kid, an opportunity off a kid. I never thought that was cool. That went as it was, and they didn't have a great year, and I hated it. I didn't really care for the opportunity I had, and so I ended up coming back, you know, after that and trying to get the program going again. But Deshaun was a special, special, special person, basketball player. He was a great kid to – great person to my kids, and, you know, just very proud of all the accomplishments that he has had.
Absolutely, and – You've had some great clashes with teams in the Central Valley during that time. You mentioned you go and play these national tournaments and whatnot, but here in the Valley, you had some games too as well. Are there some games you remember in the Valley? Maybe a matchup against Clovis West or Buller back in the day, or was there a matchup that you remember?
I'm telling you, the number one game for me was the first year, my first year at Washington. We were in the finals of the HIT championships.
At Hoover?
It was at Fresno City. And they had Shannon Swillis. I forgot the other big kid's name. They had a very good team, you know, and they were the number one team in the Valley. And we had beaten, I think, Madera first, and then Buchanan, and then we beat Clovis West. And then we played Bullard in the championship game, and Demetrius Porter and Shannon Swillis were best of friends, and they it was like this big thing. We walk into the gym, Paul, and we're not even supposed to be a little bitty old Fred Washington Union, you know, and we walk in there, and Bullard's there, and the media, they're over interviewing Shannon and asking him, you know, how's it going to feel to win in an HIT championship and all this stuff or whatever. And so we walk in and we see that. And they're interviewing, I think, Coach Pioti. And so we walk, and as we come in, we just go in. Nobody even recognizes us. We go, and I tell Meech, I said, Meech, look. I said, they don't know what's getting ready to hit them, huh? Meech said, they don't know, Coach. They don't know, Coach. Because Meech and Shannon were best of friends, you know, so it was like his competition, you know. And it was a great game, and we ended up winning that game. But that was, to me, the signature win for us, because it was the David versus Goliath. You know, we took down Bullard, who was the consummate champion, the consummate, you know, the big number one team. And it was great. And then we ended up playing them again in the Buchanan tournament and beat them again. So it was like, yes, you know. and Piotr's a good friend of mine. I love Dan. And it was great. Those games right there were major, because everybody expected them to be, they were that team, you know, and we wanted to try to get to that level. And we ended up having a pretty good season that year.
Talking with Von Webb, current assistant coach at Fresno State. We got about 10 minutes here, Coach. I want to talk about your journey as a coach as well. You mentioned then you returned back to Washington Union after that little stint at Wyoming. And then what brought you back this current cycle, right, back to Fresno State? You mentioned earlier, the Valley's your home.
This is home, right?
What brought you back here?
I've been here longer than I've been anywhere else in my life, right? I've lived in this, and this is home, period. And a lot of my friends, I have family here in the whole nine yards, so it became a special place for me. coming back, you know, being here in 2003, '04, and then 4 or 5, it was the best thing that ever happened to me is basketball wise. Well, not the best, but one of the best things were to become a coach, assistant coach at Fresno State. You know, because that's, you know, you want to try to help this program get to the highest level we can get to, and then ended up leaving and going and coaching down in Southern California at University of California Riverside. And I coached high school down there as well when I coached my son. But it was not the Valley. You know, it was not home. You know, and Justin Hudson, who's one of my best friends on this earth, when, you know, we've been buddies forever and ever, and we had always said that when either one of us got to that level, if we got to that level, we were head coach, that we wanted to work together. And so it kind of came full circle after my son passed. It just worked around that the opportunity came about, and he asked me if I was interested, and I said, yeah. I thought about it for a little bit and said, yeah, yeah, might as well make it work. You know, like you said, it's kind of full circle. This is where I started it. This is where it ends up, right, being back here. And it's a pleasure to be here because I've been so well received, and I'm so appreciative of the people of the Valley because they have, you know, you know, like you said, you walk into a gym and you know the respect is incredible. It's tremendous, and I appreciate that, you know, because I know what we did, what I've done as a coach was on the heels of my guys. You know, I had great kids that worked their butts off. I had great staffs that worked their butts off, and administration that supported me, you know, for the most part everywhere that I've been, and to be able to say, okay, you know, I can come back home and do this again. It was a no-brainer to do it. You know, it was a no-brainer to do it. And it hasn't been as fun as I'd like for it to be because of situation, injuries here, and, yeah, you know, all that kind of, you know, but you can't control that. Yeah. You know, you just do what you do. You know, you coach and try to get the best kids you can to get them to work hard, work together, and let the chips fall where they may.
And basketball coach Webb has given you so much in life, but you mentioned too that your son passed away, incredible tragedy. Your son Taylen passed away in May of 2022, at the age of 24. In what ways are you carrying on his legacy and the message moving forward?
Well, you know, he passed away of an accidental fentanyl overdose, and it's taken a lot for me to even say that, yeah, without losing myself, right? And he was a great kid. Barry was one of the best kids ever. I'm telling you, Paul, if you met him, you would know that he was anybody that met him knows that he's a great kid. And so my mission moving forward is to try to bring awareness to any and every parent, any and every student, athlete, child. It doesn't matter who it is. I just want them to realize how serious that this drug is and how deadly it is. You know, I read a few months back, a one-year-old child at a daycare died because the people at the friggin' daycare was selling the stuff, and the child just ingested it and died. A one-year-old child never had a chance to live their life because of this drug. Now, we know there's other things out there, but this is, for me, I never realized how serious it was because it hadn't hit me. I want other people to know how serious it is, and I don't want it to hit them. I want to let them know before it hits them, you know, and I want them to understand how important it is to communicate, educate, and participate and understand how serious this epidemic is. And I said it before, I have some good friends that are going to help me get this message out there. And I'd like for any and everybody that hears my voice, please, you know, do whatever you can to educate and understand what this drug is and what it does. I started I have a nonprofit. It's called Stay Shaded. I say Stay Shaded because my son and I, that was our thing. Stay cool. Stay cool. At any time after we get, before we get off the phone, he'd always say, Pops, stay shaded. I said, stay shaded, son. And so that was a
That was your thing.
That's
your
bond. Thing. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so now the nonprofit is called Stay Shaded, and we're moving forward. We're going to do some major things to help get this information out there, education out there, try to help as many people as possible. And I'd love for everybody to be a part of it.
Well, we certainly will. We certainly will, Coach. And your emotions are absolutely justified. And when I read about him, Coach, you mentioned, man, I would like him. And I'm sure I saw his Instagram. I'm like, I would like this dude. This guy plays basketball D1, Cal State Northridge. Then he's playing Madden. He's like, man, I think I could play football. Never plays football. He goes and plays football at Southern Utah. Gets tackles, gets everything. I mean, what a dude, huh?
Let me tell you that quick story. I know we got a lot of time.
Yeah, we got a couple minutes.
Yeah, this is what he calls me. He played it, like you said, he played at Northridge, and he ended up leaving Northridge and going to school in Texas at a junior college. It goes there at South Plains College. Calls me, comes home for Christmas. Oh, no, spring break. Calls me in the middle of the night of spring break. Says, Dad. I think I want to play basketball anymore. I think I want to play football. I said, what? Now, he hadn't played football since he was in fifth grade or sixth grade over here in Central District. And I was like, what? He's like, no, I really do. And he, because he always told me he wanted to be better than me at everything, right? He knew I did both. So I knew that was part of it, too. And, boy, he was a lot better than me.
Yeah.
And so I said, okay, let's see what we can do. So I sent out, I called a couple friends. I said, the first person that gets back to us, that's what we're going to try to roll with, you know. Well, a good friend of mine, Kenny Horton, was friends with the coach, DeMario Warren, at Southern Utah. Coach Warren called me back immediately. Says, Vaughn, you got any tape? Because he was looking for, you know, some players. I said, well, all I have is basketball tape. So I sent in a basketball tape. Then he calls me back. And me goes, oh, I love his athleticism. Yeah. Yes, we want. So that's what happens. And he walks on there. And then he walks on the first semester. After that, he was on full scholarship. And he ended up being, someone told me that he was the only player in the history to play against two Pac-12 teams in two different sports, football and basketball. And I was like, that's pretty good, son.
That he did good. Something positive.
The kid broke a kneeling box jump record, breaks that record, and then somebody breaks it like a week later, so he didn't get the love that he's supposed to get with. But he just did. He was a 6'10 high jumper, 23'8 long jumper. You know, the kid was just a phenomenal athlete, but he's a better person than he was an athlete. You know, and everybody, I couldn't tell you if there was anybody that came in contact with him that didn't love him.
Same with you, Coach. Same with you. The web. I'm going there. The web jeans run deep. Start talking about your granddaughter, how you're watching her get the hoops and playing some defense and the love you have for your son. But, Coach, it's you've had an amazing journey. You mentioned the Valley's home, and we all heard that Coach Webb is coming back to coach Fresno State basketball. We're like, yeah, all right, this is where he belongs. So appreciate you. I'll see you on the bench tonight. I'll be checking out that game playing Colorado State on the Save Mart Center at 7 o'clock. Again, Coach, this was quite an honor for me, and I know the people listening got to know you a little bit better and your story as well. So thank you for coming on.
Paul, thank you for having me, and I appreciate and thank the people of the Valley for their support and their love all these years. I always say it's all about mentality. Stay shaded.
Stay shaded. All right, we'll leave it at that. Coming up after the break, we got McLean basketball in the house here on 1430 ESPN.
Listen to The Rich Eisen Show weekdays at 10 a.m. In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. That's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Hour number two, the Central Valley Sports Report, here on 1430 ESPN, live here at First String Sports. So the only place where you can get your Letterman's jacket. Sanger West, Sanger, Madera, Clovis West. How about McLean? Yeah, McLean. We got them in the house. We'll get them to them in just a second. But I just want to talk a little bit more about Coach Webb. And his impact on the Valley, and you could just hear the emotion in his voice when he's talking about his son who passed away tragically from a fentanyl overdose in May of 2022. It hits him hard, and he now readily admits he's just starting to talk about it. He's able to verbalize it, and he's on a crusade. He's not going to let his son's death lie in vain, right? And he's going to march on. He's going to march on. And basketball has given him a lot of his life, right? And but nothing. There's no bigger fear than having one of your children pass away. But Coach Webb, he's loved in the Valley. He says this is home. He's surrounded by people that love him. So, yeah, it was a really good interview. And if you happen to miss any of it, you could go to 1430ESPNFresno.com, go under podcast, Central Valley Sports Report, and it'll be potted up, I don't know, about a half an hour after the show. You could go back and listen to that. Just a really, really good interview, and I was blessed to have him on the show. McLean, like I mentioned, basketball program's in the house. Coach Mitchell Davis Chachere, his third year as a head boys basketball coach at the school. We got James Brown, one of his star players, in here as well. He recently became the school's all-time leading scorer. When I saw that on Twitter, I was pumped. I was like, yeah, that is an awesome, awesome record to hold. Last night, they defeated Madera South 82-44, 15-11 on the season, and 7-5 in league. First of all, thank you guys for coming on the show, coming live here at First String Sports. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
All right, let's first talk about last night's game. You guys defeated Madera South. Coach, start with you. What was working in last night's game?
Last night, what really worked was we went with our run and jump press right away, got them to turn it over quite a few times. We rebounded really well last night, and it really worked when we sped them up last night.
So what is this? Can you describe to us what that type of press looks like?
Yeah, most people recognize it around town. We run the same thing that you see in the track. Start off in that 2-2-1, and then we kind of run and jump trap, and then the dominoes just fall, and then everybody rotates, and we go get steals.
I've seen that before, and it works. And it's, when it works on the court as a coach, I'm sure you're like, man, why can't we do this every game, right? It's one of the things about coaching. But, James, is there one play from last night that you remember? Is there one specific play? Maybe you got a steal on that press and got a layup, or maybe you hit a nice three.
Yeah, last night one of our players named Z. He don't even really like play a lot, so it's a senior now. We get him in, and got him in. I got a steal for him. I start jumping down the court. I throw it down. He get a free layup. We all get hyped for him.
That's great. You probably could have taken yourself, but no, I'm going to pass to my teammate, right?
Yeah.
Coach, isn't that great when you can put in players that may not see a lot of playing time at the beginning of the year, and you have the school's all-time leading scorer right here? Like, he could have easily added to that total and got himself a layup, but he dishes to that guy, and the bench gets pretty hyped.
Right, right. Those senior nights are very special for moments just like that. Those guys that work all year long don't get rewarded with the normal playing time that most of the other guys get. They get in the game, they get to score a little bit, they get to get sweat, run up and down, and then once they come off the floor, there you see their teammates mob them, and it's just great watching that happen.
How many players are you do you have on the team this year, and who are your seniors?
So we have 16 guys this year, so we have quite a big roster. We have six seniors: Zuriel Gonzalez, James Brown, Cedric Hughes, Jordan Ross. Who am I missing?
Isaiah
Pomanis.
And another Isaiah.
Yeah, Isaiah Crawford. Yeah, quite a few seniors this year.
So what did senior night look like? Was the gym packed? I mean, were there banners up, and you know the families are supporting each other, right?
Yeah, right. So we brought the blow up into the gym. We had all the banners. Everybody had their signs, and it was a really special night because our girls played before us, and they had their
cool
senior night too. So it was a really really great atmosphere last night.
Who are some of the other players? We're going to get to James in just a second here, but who are some other players this year, Coach, you want to highlight? Maybe some of the guys that are your tough guys, the guys that, you know, could get a rebound here, or block a shot, play some good defense, or a guy that can hit a
team. His name is Cedric Hughes. He's about 6'2". He was actually second team all league last year. He's playing really well this year. He's had about 11 double-doubles this year.
All right.
Leads us in rebounds by far. I think the other day we played Sunnyside. He had 16 points, 16 rebounds. He's had quite a few of those games where he's been above 15 rebounds. So there's him. We also have Isaiah Pomanis. Last time we played Roosevelt, had a really, really big game. He scored 23 points in that game. Senior night last night, he had 20. This is also one of our better shooters. And then we have two sophomores that we're really excited about that can really go. Kevon Bircher and Demetri Simon is a two-sport kid, football, basketball player at our school. But Kevon's at about 10 points a game. One of the most athletic kids I've coached. Small in stature, but is really explosive.
How about this guy to your right here, James Brown. You know, what does he mean to the program, and what does he bring to the court?
He's sitting right here. We always joke and laugh. You know, he jokes, but, you know, I'm going to cry when he graduates or cry senior night and stuff like that. But James has meant a lot to the program. Him and Jordan are the two holdovers from when I first took over 3 years ago. Yeah. Sophomores on varsity that we have brought up. And he's been the leader that everyone has followed to get everybody where we want our program to go. And then what he brings to the court, James has a timing that I haven't seen. I've been around basketball for a while. The way he times the game, he's also not only is he the all-time scoring leader at McLean, he's also the all-time steals leader. Last year he had over 120 in one season.
Wow.
So watching him time the basketball and go get steals, I haven't seen a kid do anything like that. And then his quickness, another kid that we have a small in stature, but can finish at the rim with the best of them, and he gets to the basket really, really easy.
Gets downhill.
Yeah.
James, what's your favorite type of play on the court? Do you like D-ing a guy up, right, locking him down, making him miss a shot, getting a steal, or hitting a three, or you know, getting to the rim? What's your favorite type of play?
I like on our team, when two guys trap and somebody, like, they're looking for the next guy to throw it to, and I'm just right there, and I just come get it.
You got the timing. That's the timing the coach is talking about.
Yeah.
So you could just sense it. You just sense, oh, this guy's in trouble. I'm gonna create this angle and get that steal.
Yeah, I'll just be looking in their eyes, and you could tell when they're about to throw it, so I just go anywhere they're looking at.
That's perfect. That's perfect. Now, James, I want to ask you, did you always grow up playing basketball, or did you play some other sports as well? Did you, like, try them all, but then basketball won out?
Elementary, I was playing football for, like, the little Pop Warner leagues, and I was doing good in those, but I liked basketball better.
What grade, I should ask, did you become more serious with basketball? Like, yeah, this is going to be my thing. Was it, like, 7th, 8th grade?
No, it was 6th grade.
6th grade.
Yeah.
And you remember, what elementary school did you go to?
It was in Sacramento. It's called Bennett Creek.
Oh, you're in Sacramento. Okay. Remember playing on those courts outside? Were you always faster than some of your classmates?
Yeah.
Like, always? You're always the fastest guy?
Yeah.
Were you, like, the number one pick on the playground? Like, yeah, you're running with us.
Yeah.
You're running with us. James, I saw the video, which was really cool, of when you broke the record. Fresno Sports Magazine did a good job chronicling that. Maybe I can ask you, Coach, as well. Like, did you make it known to James, hey, here's the record, right? Here's the point total. Was it 883? Am I right on that? 882, right, at 883. Did you come up to him and say, hey, you got a chance? Like, you kind of want to let him know, but you kind of don't on one hand, right? But, right? So how did that all go about when
so
you realized
we kind of chronicled it after last year. So we played his sophomore year. He played last year. I think he had like 450-something last year. So we kind of kept an eye on it and said, hey, you know, me and my assistant coach said, hey, this is about 300 away. If he had 450 last year, he should be able to, you know, go after and get that thing. And then as the season progressed and we started to get closer and closer, and I'm sure we've told him, but he kind of followed it on his own on Max Preps once we told him what the record was. But we've been known about it all year.
Is that true? So do you remember when the coaches came up to you and told you? Do you remember that moment?
Yeah.
Did it become like a real thing? Did it become a goal for you? Like, man, okay, that's cool. I'm going to try to break that record. Is that what you're thinking in your mind?
It became a goal when I was like 100 away.
Yeah.
But like at the beginning of the season, I'm just like, I got to average like 15 to break it.
That's a good point, total. That's good. 15, nothing wrong with that. What was going through your mind? Like, well, which game was it?
It was Sanger West.
It was a Sanger West game?
Yeah.
And how many points away was he going into that game?
He was 15 away going into the game.
15 away. So how'd you score? Did you get on a bucket or a free throw?
A free throw.
A little anticlimactic. A free throw. Well, you made it, though, right? You didn't miss it. You made the free throw. So was that presentation, it was right after the game?
No. So we did it. We called
it
timeout.
Right then.
Yeah, so in the middle, I double-checked the rules and make sure, hey, after this first timeout, after his first make, can I call a timeout? So we called a timeout for him, and it was cool. The whole scene, we went to go grab the stuff, and his teammates came and mobbed him over to the bench. We grabbed him to the center court, took a picture. Everybody in the gym gave him a standing ovation. It was pretty cool.
How cool was that? Does it seem like a dream, James?
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that.
Oh, you were? It was a total surprise?
Yeah, I was surprised.
Or were you just like, what are they doing here? Why are they calling timeout? What are those balloons for? That's awesome. Coach, for you, right, describe a little bit more how cool that was, right? Like, we'll talk about culture in just a second and when you took over the program, but you know, in your third year at McLean, to have a kid break the all-time school record, scoring record, and then that whole atmosphere, just, I mean, what did it mean?
Right. So, I mean, I can't describe in words how much it means to the program, especially what we've been trying to build the last 3 years. You take over something like that, and it's a big undertaking, and you have lofty expectations and dreams of what you want to see for your program, and everything just culminated right there in that one night where we had a kid that's been with us for 3 years, worked his butt off, has did everything we've asked, and not just to add to the basketball stuff, but James has been a great kid outside of basketball, as a 3.5 student, attends classes, all the stuff he's supposed to do, and he exemplifies exactly what we want in our program, and just to see him get all that recognition was well-deserved. And then, like you said, mention everybody in the gym and just giving them a standing ovation. Staff, school staff was there, Fresno Sports Mag, all the people that cover the games. It was just, like I said, it's hard to put in words.
James, was that on a Thursday or a Friday?
That was on Tuesday.
It was a Tuesday.
Wednesday.
Wednesday. All right, perfect. When you went back to school the next day, do you feel like the big man on campus?
Yeah.
talk to me how that felt. People coming up to you?
Yeah, every class, like all my classes I attended, every time I walked in, they just clapping, congratulations. And then on the intercom thing, yeah, it was like, I broke the record, and I was like, my teacher didn't even know, so I was like, dang.
And you're just sitting there right at your desk, man. Hey, they're talking about me. That's great. So, Coach Shashiro, we mentioned a little bit about culture and your third year at McLean. And, you know, I know your parents, so, you know, I see their posts on social media about you and the great things that you've been doing there. You know, Coach Pancotti, also with the football program, he's been on the show a couple times. And I just can't believe that story that he told, how he called the first football meeting, right? He's all hyped. He's like, all right, I want to see what I got. And, like, 7 or 8 kids showed up. And then he's just built the culture, and, you know, making the playoffs and all that is, you know – was there any moment for you, Coach, where you're like, man, what am I getting into? Or did you hit the ground running? Or do you have any, like, coming to Jesus moments or anything like that with the program?
Something similar. When we called our first meeting, there may have been, like, maybe close to 12 kids.
Total.
Yeah, total in the gym that day for that first
freshman
workout.
Routine.
Yeah, yeah. But it was kind of – I kind of knew what I was getting into. So I was at McLean before, and then I was at Sunnyside before. So I've always been around the NYL. And I knew Coach Williams for a very long time. So I really knew what I was getting into. And it was kind of like that mix of – it was a mix of what did I get myself into, and then at the same time we did hit the ground running. That first moment came in our first summer league game. I think we were playing Sierra Pacific, and we started the game after we had a couple good workouts. And we're getting, like, ran out of the gym by, like, 20, 25 points at halftime. And so I could – thought thinking about it, like, well, it can go either way. I could lose these guys really quick,
yeah,
or, you know, they could – do what we were talking about and fight back and keep scrapping and working hard. And we actually come back and we win that game. And so after that, I think that first summer league, we went like 25-5. And then that first year, we went 20-8 and went to the Division III playoffs, which for McLean had been the basement of the NYL basketball for a while. And then for us to supersede our base division and go to 3 was very exciting.
I want to talk about that in just a second here, Coach. But, yeah, I mean, McLean basketball, right? I mean, we hear stories about, you know, about the Fresno Unified Schools. You know, I was just at Roosevelt last night for the Hoover game and, you know, the history of Hoover. You know, Fresno Unified sometimes gets a bad rap, let's be honest.
Correct.
And how have you tried to come in and change the narrative, right? Culture speaking into the lives of the young men, encouragement, making sure they're taking care of their business. How has your role been in the lives of the young men in the
right,
program?
So we use basketball at McLean. We use it as a tool, right? So we use it as a tool to help these guys navigate life. So we don't only just talk about basketball stuff. We have meetings where we give them input. We give them what we know. I think one of the best things we do is we bring people in to talk to these guys. I've brought my brothers in. We've brought other kids that have done well at McLean and have played college sports and people that just have done well in life to come back and talk to these guys and give back. And I think they take it to heart, what these guys, the info that they receive.
James, has there been a guy – that's coming to talk to you guys that stands out to you? Maybe he spoke a word you're like, man, all right, I believe that.
Yeah, one of the alumni is named Tayshawn. He told me like a couple things that I just took it and ran with it.
What do you remember specifically? What he said that like spoke to your heart, or is it just his overall presence and believing in yourself and all and that type of
his
top type of vibe?
Presence, yeah.
That's cool, Coach. You mentioned your brothers. I didn't watch Andre in high school at Clovis West, but obviously I followed his career, San Jose State, and through the NFL as well. And then Dante, right? Little Dante, I followed him. He's not little anymore,
right,
is he?
Right.
He's not little anymore. You know, took over for Adrian Martinez at quarterback, and you know, had a heck of a couple seasons there in Portland State. So that's been a lot of fun to watch as well. Andre, did he bought you guys some shoes?
Yeah.
What's the story behind that?
So
I thought that was
cool.
Really cool.
Andre's done a lot for me since I took over 3 years ago, whether it be our first year buying shoes. Last year he bought the kids backpacks. But this year he bought every player on our team a pair of shoes,
wow,
which is big for these guys. Guys run out of shoes like crazy. Like earlier this year, he had a pair of rip on him. So, I mean, these guys play hard, and shoes aren't made like they used to be. So it always helps when their parents can fall back. They don't have to spend an extra $150, $200 on basketball shoes.
Exactly. That's cool. James, in what ways has Coach Chacheret helped you? Right, you talk about the culture that he's built. You got that GPA up over 3.0. That's awesome. But in what ways has Coach helped you, not only as a basketball player, but as a person?
He helped me a lot. Like, when I was, like freshman year quarantine, I wasn't really doing anything. And then when I wanted to play basketball, my grades wasn't, like, up to par. So I was just trying my best. So he helped me, like, look at it different. Because I wasn't looking at it how I look at it now when I was younger. So I just changed my ways and just started.
He's a mentor. He's a mentor to you. That's awesome. James, you got any hype music? You got hype music before the game you listen to in some AirPods?
I see
Coach over here laughing. Or are you just all business?
No, I'm going to hype music.
You know? You don't need music?
I wouldn't say hype music.
All right. Well, what is it then? What prepares you for a game?
Probably some Drake.
Okay.
Young Boy.
Okay.
I be listening to a lot. Sometimes I be listening to Ryla, if you know who that is. Listen to Ryla.
But know who that is. I'm not up on Ryla right now. So I'll work on that. I'll work on that. Coach, you know, let's go back to that first year. You mentioned it. You're having a phenomenal year, right? 20 wins, most ever in school history at that time. A lot of talk about divisions, base, playoffs, right? What's fair? What's not fair? So you have the best season in McLean history, and Division III, you get bumped up.
Yeah.
And who do you play in that first round?
We end up playing Clovis High.
Clovis High. Playing Clovis High. Drop down to D3, and John Hines is a friend of the show. Great guy.
Yeah, right.
Not his fault, right? He, just like everybody, you got to control what you can control.
Yeah.
Right, so you play Clovis High, and then you guys end up losing on your home court. Was that like somebody put a knife through your heart and kind of moved it around a little bit? What was your feeling about that?
It kind of was. So when we took over, I remember that year being – I don't think there was any base divisions that year. I think they were just going to line it all up and say 1
Spit
through
it out.
92. Yeah, whoever was 1 through 16 was going to be in 1, and the next 16 were 2. But we were just rolling that year, not even really thinking about the playoffs. We were just winning game after game after game. And every time we took the floor, guys played hard, and just the results always came out in our favor. And then that playoff time came out, and we got the number 2 seed in Division III, which was big for us because I think the last time the school was in the playoffs was 2017. So it had been a while, 4 years at least, since they went to the playoffs. And to be rewarded with that, and then have to see across the name was Clovis High, thinking like, oh man, they've seen what we do, and they've seen it at, you know, a way higher level than what we've been able to. This is our kids' first year ever doing what we wanted them to do. And so we just, like you said, it was a gut punch. The game was really close. I think we ended up losing by 5 or 6, but it was just a gut punch to know that we did all that work and for it to be over just like that.
That's hard. Did that kind of motivate you, so to speak, or did you try to turn that, like, you know, these guys are against us, or what type of mentality did you take moving forward after that the next year?
We talk to these guys all the time. It's always, you know, the world against us. We try and instill that attitude with them every time they take the floor. It's always our team versus their team. But, yeah, we took that and ran with it, and just kind of wanted to push going to the next year. Okay, let's build upon this. And then last year, so that second year going after that, we won our very first playoff game in like 26 years, which was very exciting. And then we had a chance to make it to the semifinals, and we ended up losing another tough one that was about 4 points. But these kids, they've done a great job of doing what we've asked and just running with it.
Is, in your opinion, Coach, is the playoff system, current playoff system, is it fair? Does it hurt schools like you that overachieve for 1 year and then you're punished in the playoffs? Like, what's your opinion on the current playoff system? You could be as honest as possible. I know you try to want to be politically correct, but.
No, I've tried to see it from both sides. You know, it's hard when you have, like you said, that first year you have a team like us that really goes over expectations. And then your reward is getting bumped up. And let's say for like that first year, we can admit we didn't play the strongest of schedules. So having to play teams that were very high was difficult. And then at the same time, you always hear the stories about teams that don't do very well during the year, get bumped down, and they make a big run in the playoffs. So you see both sides of it. I think it's I'm okay with it right now. We'll see. Time will tell where it goes. But I think I read an article the other day that most sections are going to what we're doing too. So, I mean, as long as it's uniform and you kind of know what to expect, I really don't have any problems with it.
Talking with McLean coach Shashere and James Brown, the all-time leading scorer. We got a couple minutes here, guys. All right, so next week you got the gauntlet, right? What do you call that week? What do you call that? So you're playing – Roosevelt at home and then at Hoover.
Yeah, so that Roosevelt one's that's a rivalry game for us. We're both on Cedar Avenue. The kids know each other. They've played each other for a while. The first year we beat them twice. Last year they beat us twice. We had a close one 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, on the 18th.
Went down to the wire. And then this week will be these guys trying to get back to even at 1-1 for the week.
Well, I was able to watch them last night, and they got a couple tall, just a couple 6'4", 6'3". They got that freshman with those long old arms and stuff like that. So what's the game plan against a team like Roosevelt?
Start with to speed them up. So obviously, like you said, they're big. We always have a group of small kids.
Yeah.
But our game is to play fast and to get them caught up in our game and not play the slowdown version where they can use their size. So when we play them, the game is to get the game going up and down and turn into a track meet.
How about Hoover? I know you don't want to look forward too much, right? So you got them on – you got Roosevelt on the 6th and then Hoover on the 8th. So that'll be a Thursday game. How do you go against Coach Archie?
So that's another tough one too. Tizelle being a Hoover guy, I graduated from Hoover, so we've known each other for a while. The game plan is pretty similar for both, just not to let them use their size against us. So we against Hoover, it was the same thing. We had a very close game. We were actually up at halftime in that game.
Oh, wow.
So we'll probably go back, look at the film, make a couple adjustments that we need to make, and then I don't want to give too much away.
I know.
So we'll just take it from there.
Well, it seems like the coaches in the NYL are pretty tight, right? I mean, Coach Archie's amazing. You know, what you're doing at McLean is awesome. Coach Chisholm at Roosevelt. Is there a fraternity between you guys? Like, you got a lot of love for each other, don't you?
Yeah, there is. So, I've known Tizelle for a while. Corey Duckworth at Sunnyside is one of my best friends.
Yep.
Like I said, after Hoover, my first stint at McLean, I went to Sunnyside. I'm forever grateful to him for teaching me how to run a program. So me and him talk a lot. Try not to give away too much to each other, but we talk about games and stuff like that. But yeah, most of the teams and coaches on the teams are pretty close.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, James, congratulations on becoming the school's all-time leading scorer. What's your plan for next year? You plan on going to college, trying to get a degree, maybe play a little ball? You got some plans looking forward to?
Yeah, I plan on going to probably a JUCO or something next year, and after that, transfer out to a 4-year.
That'd be awesome. That'd be great. Well, thank you guys for coming on. Really appreciate it. Again, playing Roosevelt next week at home and then traveling to Hoover on Thursday. McLean coach Shashere, thanks for coming in. You know, we saw each other at Target a few months ago. I'm like, all right, I'm going to have you on the show. And it came to be. So appreciate you and your family greatly. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having us. We appreciate it a lot.
You bet. All right. We got John Penberthy in the house from Fresno Christian coming up next on 1430 ESPN.
Listen to Sportsline, the Bulldog Hour, every weekday at 2 p.m. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
All All right, our final segment here on the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters. You can follow me on the Twitter, on the X, at Paul Metters, P-A-U-L-M-E-A-D-O-R-S. Had Coach Von Webb on the show for the first hour. Had Coach Shashere and James Brown, the all-time leading scorer for McLean here at First String Sports. Good stuff, man. I love talking to these coaches and getting to know players as well because they deserve it. They deserve it, and we're happy to do it here on 1430 ESPN. I have John Penberthy here, 10th year as a head boys basketball coach at Fresno Christian. Got that section title in 2020, correct?
Yeah, that's right. We had a good run that year.
That was a good run, man. That's a game I wasn't able to watch that, what, triple overtime win, a foul, triple? Double overtime?
Double overtime,
two,
yeah.
Overtimes.
Yep, double overtime.
19-6 this year, 7-0 in league so far. Defeated Liberty last night, 74-24. So, John, you know, wanted to have you on the show for a while, and we've been texting each other for the last couple of weeks, and this week worked out. But you said, hey, can we move it to 11:30-ish? Because I got my daughter cheerleading at Buchanan. So was it like Ferris Bueller's Day Off driving here, you know, in the Ferrari, just, you know, driving in out of track and making these big jumps to get here?
That's what it felt like. You haven't been to one of those cheer things, man. I was climbing over people in the bleachers, and I thought it was at Buchanan, but it ended up being over at Clovis West.
Well,
and so here are my fifth grade daughter's cheering, and I'm climbing over people to sit down and jamming back over here. So it's always good to support and get over here and support the other side of the work life, I guess.
and you know, those competitions, you know, you probably go to, you're like, oh my gosh, this is maybe a little bit out of my element. This is pretty wild. I remember going, you know, waking up, you know, you work all week, right? And then you wake up at 7 o'clock to take your daughters to soccer practice. I went through that phase. But I'll tell you what now, John, now that my daughters are older and I got one of them married, you're going to look back at those times. You're like, I kind of miss those times. Those are some pretty special times.
I have five daughters. So, two in college, and then I have the bookend of Lola being a fifth grader. It's like I said to my wife the other day, going, can we go back to when they're like 7, 8, and 9?
Yeah.
And so we get a little bit of that with our youngest, but you nailed it on the head.
Yeah, I mean, those moments when you walk in the house after a long day of work and they come up to you and they hug you, you're like, oh, yeah, this makes it worth it.
It's a good day when that happens.
So last night I mentioned you defeated Liberty 74-24. You know, you guys have been rolling the league. You guys are undefeated so far. Your defense has been on fire. 74 points, first of all, is a good amount of points for a high school basketball game. But talk about that defense, why it's improved so much, and why it's playing at the level they are.
Yeah, early in the year, we were scoring the ball really well. We were kind of averaging right around that 70 mark, and then went to the coast and played Napomo, and then Templeton, and one of our leading scorers went out with a knee injury for the year. And we got through the Clovis Elks tournament and did okay there. Left a couple wins off the board that we think we should have had, but we're just learning to play without Beckham, and here he is scoring 14 a game for us, and you lose that, you got to learn how to replay. And one of the things that we said, okay, if we lose 14 points, what's the best way to get that back? And we said, let's just focus on our defensive end. So if you look from really after the Centennial game in January 5th or 6th, we've been keeping teams under 50, and that's really been our goal. So we've decided to really ball pressure and just kind of man ball pressure with a lot of help side and make teams work extra hard. And they've kind of taken that on as a little bit of identity. And you've seen that in our game scores. We're doing a good job of keeping teams under 50. And if you keep teams under 50, you're going to have a shot in the majority of games.
Well, I'm looking here. 36 is our points you've given up. 36, 24, 33, 26, 29, 42, and 24. So, yeah, you're on point with that. And so you mentioned the style of defense. So it's just been straight man-to-man. You're not doing anything fancy, you know, a trap type zone defense, full court press or anything like that, just straight man-to-man stuff?
Yeah, in the full court, we've kind of, for years, Mike Neal and I, we ran a 1-2-1-1, a diamond press, and we'd trap right away. And for the last couple of years, we just have not been able to do it well. And so we just flipped it. And so now it's a 1-1-2-1, and the kids have taken to it. And we just kind of let them morph and figure things out. And so there's not a whole lot of rules to it other than to be athletic. And we got some height and some arm length and some athleticism to where we could cover a good amount of the court and just let them be athletes. And we have some basic rules that we try and follow, but really we're just telling them be active, know the role within where what spot you're playing in, whether that's to force some sideline and not let a pass up the sideline and take away the middle. And they've done a pretty good job with that. For the most part, that's what's forced the extra turnovers. We were hoping this year to kind of just be a half-court team. And when you lose that scoring, you have to find it somewhere. And we just said, you know what, let's find our identity in our defensive end. Where before, we were just going, let's just outscore teams. Let's have some fun and let's try and score 75 to 80. Our mantra for the past 10 years has always been the first team to score 70 typically wins. And that's been our goal. Now this year we're going, let's keep teams under 50. And so the scoring's going back up, but I would like to think that's because of the defensive end.
And you mentioned the word fun, right? It's always fun to score. Sometimes defense will be a little more of a grind, right? And the player's like, man, I want to score in the 70s every game. But you mentioned you have some horses this year, and we were able to broadcast your game against Carruthers at home. And it was the first time I've been able to watch your team, Fresno Christian. And you passed the eyeball test, right? You had some big guys. You got some 6'4", 6'6". You got a mix, too, of seniors all the way, you know, a few sophomores as well. You're getting playing time. Describe, you know, the makeup of the team. Like, you know, you talked about the defense, what you're trying to do defensively, offensively. I saw you guys shoot a lot of threes. You know, you want to get the best shot available as well. But describe, like, the makeup of your team this year.
Yeah, we're still a young team. We had senior night last night, so we got to celebrate our two seniors. And one of them, Angel, is kind of plays the bulk of our middle of our minutes from the middle. And Sam just joined the program late, so he's kind of catching up. So we really only play one senior. And so there's a lot of times where there's three sophomores and two juniors on the court. And so we're young and we're still figuring things out, figuring out roles for those sophomores and figuring out how to fit in with what's being asked of them. But the length and the height is what's really fun with this team. Most of the time, it's just get it and go now, where we don't have to get it to our quote-unquote our point guard. It's just you got the rebound, go.
Yeah.
Take one or two dribbles and get the ball up the sideline and go score. And so we've had to focus on the rebounding and focusing on the getting the ball and go, and we've done a good job with that. But the makeup of the team has really just been real unselfish. If you've been at the games the last couple games, we've been over 20 assists the last couple games, which is a great number to have. And that's kind of the goal. I go, man, the more that ball moves, the more fun it is for the whole team.
And I saw that against Carruthers, Coach. When that ball doesn't hit the floor, when you're pass, here, shot,
yep.
As a coach, that's what it's about.
Oh, man, I get so excited over that, and regardless of the score of the game. I mean, I'm fist pumping the air because I'm like, yes, the ball didn't touch the ground on that play, or the only time it touched the ball is with one dribble to kind of get a better angle to make a pass. And I'm going, that's what we want. And the ball gets swung from one side to the other, and it hits the low post and is skipped back across, and the guy gets an open shot. We're excited about that. And those are the shots that we celebrate. Those are the ones that as coaches, obviously we want the ball to go in, but those are the ones going, we want you to shoot that every time. And you collapse the zone, or you get the help side to help extra because you attacked hard at the paint, and the ball skipped. We're going, you better shoot it. And
yeah.
So, yeah, we enjoy shooting. We spend a lot of time in practice shooting. It's always fun when coaches come up and go, what are some of the drills you guys do? You guys shoot the ball well. And our goal is to take about a third of our practice and just shoot the ball. And that means we got to be diligent on the other side and making sure we're aware of the clock and how much time we get in practice. But, yeah, they do a good job of it. They've really been learning that, how much fun it is when you enjoy your teammates' success.
Absolutely. There's that word fun again I like to hear. So your schedule, you weren't shy this year, Coach. You scheduled up, so to speak, whatever that might mean. So you've played Roosevelt. You've played Clovis. Central Valley Christian is always a good game. You happen to beat them. Play McLean. We just had Coach in here and one of the top players. Clovis again, Frontier, who you beat, and then Centennial, and then Central,
yep.
Right?
Yeah, North Bakersfield is in there too. Templeton was another tough game for us, and I think we counted it up that we've played seven or eight Division I teams, and that's unheard of for a Fresno Christian program. Normally, we're excited to get one or two of them on there, but we've done well against them. Whether it's obviously winning's the goal, but the other part of it is to go like, you know what, guys, you can play with them, and you're a young team, so hopefully that continues to build, and we continue to getting some respect around the Valley for Fresno Christian basketball.
I think it's there. I think it's there, Coach, for sure. So next week you're playing at Fowler, and then that matchup that we've earmarked for a while on February 9th against Sierra. They are also undefeated. So what do you guys have to do next week to win those two basketball games?
Yeah, each team's a little different. Fowler runs quite a few different zones. They'll run a 1-3-1, they'll run a 3-2 and a 2-3, and Alfonso's typically been pressing, and this year he's not pressing as much, so it'll be a little bit different look. But they've also tried to slow the game down a little bit by running those zones and keep the score down. And in our league, if you're keeping teams around 50, you got a shot regardless of who you're playing. So our goal is just to continue to get out and run. And the more easy buckets we get, the less we got to actually run an offense. And the better we do that, the easier the points come. And you saw against Carruthers, they did the exact same thing that I'm talking about. They slowed the game down, and we struggled to score in the fourth quarter and kept the game close to where we thankfully made 7 of 8 free throws to kind of seal it off there. But Sierra's going to be a different game. I wouldn't be surprised if that's 70-75. I think over the last couple of years that we played them, it's been that type of a game where you're coming down the last 2-3 possessions to keep it close. So Sierra's going to score, and they're big and strong. Fowler's kind of on the other side. They got one big kid in the middle, and then they got a couple guards that are pretty skilled too. But Sierra runs. They run fast. They get up the lane quick, and obviously Kilbert's going to put up shots. But Luke Brown also is a good scorer too, and got a lot of guys that really know how to run their role and facilitate for him.
Well, you mentioned Logan Kilbert, the Central Section's all-time leading scorer. Coach Watt was in here at First String Sports earlier as well. I think you just missed him. But when you are game planning against a special player like Kilbert, a guy that can score off the ball, with the ball, he's tall, he gets shots off. You know, it's no secret what you have to do. But when you're game planning against a player like that, what are you telling the kids specifically?
Well, there's a couple of trains of thought. There's two that we've kind of looked at and go, do we just try and shut him down and have to kind of change who we are and change our philosophy of defense and put everything into stopping one kid? Or do we just go, just play defense and play hard defense and help a little bit more and try and find maybe the one or two kids that aren't as good at scoring or good at shooting that's on the floor and help off of them? Or do we just kind of say, you know what, let's shut everybody down and let him go? And if he could score 50, my goodness, like he's probably going to score 30 anyway. So, and we haven't decided how we're going to play that game yet. We've been talking about it for a little bit just because that's going to be a league deciding game there. And so we're trying to figure out too of going, do we just keep the same game plan that's been working for us for the past 10, 11 games? Or do we mix it up and try and give him some different looks maybe that he hasn't seen this year? And last time we played him last year, we probably put 4 or 5 different guys on him. We got a quicker guard on him. Now we got a bigger guy on him and somebody with long arms or whatever it is. So we're still trying to figure out, do we throw the kitchen sink at him or do we just go, you know, this is who we are.
Correct, yeah.
And if you could beat us with who we are, then good job. And if not, hopefully we come out on top, though.
Talking with John Penberthy, the head basketball coach at Fresno Christian. Okay, so you're also the school's athletic director, so you're privy to a lot of meetings, right?
Yep.
Information and, you know, you talk with a lot of our athletic directors and probably Commissioner Toss as well.
Yeah.
What works and what doesn't work? I don't want to spend too much time. I just want your opinion because we talk a lot about the big schools. Let's be honest. Here on 1430, we'll talk about, you know, Bullard and Clovis West and Clovis North. We know where they're going to line up, but it's how it trickles down to the other divisions, right? So you're looking at are you based Division 5?
We're base 5, yes.
You're base 5, so you're most likely going to be in Division 4.
Correct.
One of the higher seeds. What works and what doesn't work right now with the current system?
You know, I am not a fan, and most of the schools that are in that Division 6, 5, and 4 range are not a fan of teams moving down. And it's not because they don't deserve to be there, but you're looking at teams that are ultimately sliding down a spot, which now, if you're, in my case, at base 5 moving up to 4, I got to play a Division 3 team. And it's a big jump going from 5 to 4, but going 5 to 3 is an even bigger jump. And typically what it is you have schools that are, when you get into that Division 3, Division 2, and especially Division 1, they are one sport only for the most part players. So they've been playing basketball from June all the way through till March. They might get a little bit of time off in March and April, and they're back at it again. For Fresno Christian, we have kids that are – we can't even start our schedule till after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Because we had four kids and two of them starters after football season. And then they go right from that into boys volleyball or tennis or baseball. And I don't get them again until June. And then they're going right back to football again. And so it's a big jump. It takes them a month of conditioning and shooting and ball handling just to get that feel for ball again. So that's kind of the ballpark that a lot of us smaller schools at Division 4, 5, and 6 are looking at it just going, you know what, we're not a fan of teams dropping down. But we're not against teams moving up. Our goal obviously would be if you win your section, you move up. Not if you can't get a win in your section, you move up. If you can't win at your own level, don't move us up. And I think that's probably being said of a lot of schools. And Centennial, a Division-based 2 team, is looking at being probably a 4, 5, correct, 6, 7 range where they're going, could we not get a shot at our own division? And maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong with that one. Maybe they're going, no, we wanted that Division 1 one. But I would think you'd want a shot at winning your base division before you get moved up. So I think there's some changes that could get made that would benefit a lot of these schools to where it's a little bit kind of feeds both sides of it. Obviously, the big schools are the big draw, and they're very good and very accomplished. But there are 120-something schools in our section. We're potentially basing some of these rules off of 30 of them.
Yeah.
And I think it's a little off balance.
Yeah, it can be. And I know the section office, they're well aware. aware of everything.
And in all fairness, they're not the ones making these rules. Yeah. It's me. I'm on the voting board, and I'm one of the ones voting on this stuff. Yeah. So it's not Ryan. It's not Matt. It's not our section. It's the leagues that are having to vote appropriately for their own schools that they're voting for. So it's not Matt. It's not Ryan. But that's what's in front of them, so they're doing their best to try to make it work.
And we're all going to find out next week where all this shakes down. We got a couple minutes here. Actually, we got about 5 minutes here with Coach Penberthy. All right. So growing up Penberthy, right, the name resonates in basketball circles everywhere. Just remind everybody, and I even need reminding. Remind everyone of the pecking order, right, of the Penberthy kids. Who's oldest and who's the youngest?
Sure. Well, if you wanted to go even back farther, my dad coached up in the Bay Area and was the Cal High Coach of the Year in the mid-70s. So he kind of started this whole thing and had a chance to go coach at the collegiate level and turned it down so he could spend more time in coaching his boys. So, but Mike graduated from Hoover in 92, I think it was, 93. And then Aaron was 95, and Joe was 96. And then I graduated in 2002. And Mike went on and played college basketball at Masters University and had some offers to go to, I think it was Utah and Cal, and play alongside Van Horn or Jason Kidd, and just goes, I want to go to private school and play right away. And Aaron went on and played there also, and he played baseball and ended up being drafted by the Cardinals. And my brother Joe was an All-American at Masters as well and ended up playing overseas a little bit. So there's been a rich history of us going to Masters and playing basketball there and baseball for my brother Aaron. And all dabbled in coaching to a certain extent. Whether it's my brother Aaron over at Kasner, and he's seen a lot of success with those kids coming through to Clovis West. And brother Joe's up pastoring in Washington and coaching his sons. And brother Mike's been, all over the place with New Orleans Pelicans, the Timberwolves, the Lakers, and now he's in the front office with the Denver Nuggets.
He is. What's one thing, John, that you can destroy your brothers in? Is there like ping pong or cards or maybe a video game, like where you're the number one? You're clear cut.
You know, I'm a little disappointed you didn't say shooting. Like I fully expected you to bring that one up.
See, and I threw a little curveball, right? You've probably been asked that a million times, and I want to ask something a little bit
different. You know what I tell people is we'd play pickup games, and we'd go over and play at the park, or we'd play at Hoover or whatever it was, and my role was to guard the ball handler and to pass the ball. So I learned how to play defense, and I learned how to hit them in the hand so that they could shoot the ball. And so I take full credit for Mike's professional career and Joe's professional career, being that, I'm the one chasing the guy around and making sure that they get the ball at the right time and stuff like that. But, no, we're all competitive, but we all just enjoy each other's company. I mean, we all just love being around each other. I don't know if there's anything that we're all necessarily better at each other at. But, yeah, we got most of us together for Christmas. We got together and played golf back in, oh, gosh, it's been about 9 months now. We all try and get together at least once or twice a year, the four of us, and just catch up on everybody's kids and what's going on in each other's lives.
All the cousins, right? Probably yep. love getting together as well, talking with John Penberthy. And I know, Brother Mike, we got a couple minutes here, Coach, but, you know, Brother Mike in the NBA, and I even remember when I'd watch him play for the Lakers, I'm like, oh, my gosh, there's Mike Penberthy, right? Because I know he played at Fresno Christian yep. And then transferred to Hoover. A lot of people don't remember he was at Fresno Christian for that year.
Yep.
And I watched him at Masters, right? I went to Fresno Pacific, so I'd watch him play. Was there moments that you had the same where you're watching on TV like, oh, my gosh, that's my brother playing with the Lakers?
You know, when it is surreal, especially when you – funny story, my dad taught out at Fireball. And so we drove a little 92 gold Saturn, and we parked right next to Shaq underneath Staples Center in our gold Saturn. And he's got the navigator, and it's got the fish tank in the back and all this stuff that you'd see on whatever Cribs or whatever shows that you were at the time. And he steps out, and it's like this monster of a guy. He's just so big. And he comes over and gives you a hug, and like your head's at his belly button. And I'm 16, 120 pounds, and shakes your hand. His like hand goes all the way up to your elbow, and that's when it's just like, oh my gosh, like you're on the same court with these guys. And Mike would tell stories about playing Kobe one on one after practice, and going to toy stores with Shaq, and he'd fill up a U-Haul and just say, just donate it to whoever he wants. Wow. So the stories are just fun. I think it was more just my own teammates, because I was at Hoover at the time with Javance Coleman and Jerome Ireland and Derek Baccaro, who's over at Clovis West coaching, and all these guys. And they just like, dude, you're wearing a pair of Shaq sunglasses. And I was like, oh, at some point it just kind of became numb to me, because he would just throw them to my brother and then he'd pass them on to us. So when you're 17 and that's just kind of what you're surrounded by, you don't even think much about it. Then you see him play and you're like, yeah, it's my brother Mike. And he, I think that was the first time we had cable television. We were just the straight CBS, NBC until Mike got on there. And all of a sudden, it's hearing Chick Hearn saying your brother's name and stuff like that. So that was a lot of fun.
That's amazing. All right. Unfortunately, we got to wrap everything up here, John. But it's a pleasure finally having you on the show. Team Fresno Christian is playing really good basketball, 7-0. Got a really good matchups next week at Fowler and then home against Sierra. Thanks for coming on. I really appreciate you.
I'm glad it worked out.
Glad it worked out. You made the mad dash from Clovis West, not from Buchanan, from your daughter's cheerleading stuff. All right, good stuff. All right, thanks to Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating, First String Sports, Gabe Camarillo, Vaughn Webb, Coach Shashere from McLean, and James Brown, the all-time leading scorer at the school, and, of course, John Penberthy here. Thanks for listening. This has been Central Life Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.